This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Good afternoon. We're here today with Michelle Maloney-Kitts. Ms. Maloney-Kitts serves as the Assistant United States Global AIDS Coordinator in the Office of the U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator. She's a key architect of PEPFAR, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, as well as a Foreign Service Officer and a nurse midwife. Ms. Maloney-Kitts, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
November 25th is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. What lessons have we learned thus far about policies and programs that have sought to reduce gender-based violence globally?
Well, first of all, let me just say that gender-based violence has implications for almost every aspect of health. Women and girls experience substantial morbidity and mortality as a result of physical and sexual violence. It increases their vulnerability to AIDS, HIV, as well as other reproductive health and obstetric conditions. And of course, it very negatively affects women's and girls' psychology and their ability to cope with disease. But the one thing I'd like to focus a little bit on today is just to make it clear that we really do have models of programs that work, and that we can actually tackle gender-based violence. And it's one of the things that PEPFAR really wants to do moving forward is demonstrate that we can move beyond small activities in communities and programs can really be brought to scale. And if you'll just give me a minute, I'm going to just illustrate a couple of those programs. One is called the Liverpool Counseling and Testing Program, and of course, as the name sounds, it's in Kenya, despite it being called Liverpool. They basically started as a counseling and testing center for HIV, but now they've fully integrated post-rape care into their health programs. So if a woman is raped, she knows where to go. She gets post-exposure prophylaxis and emergency contraception if she wants it, to prevent AIDS, as well as pregnancy if she would like to prevent a pregnancy. But also they provide linkages and support systems for women to be reintegrated, to deal with the perpetrator of the violence, as well as linkages to police and justice systems. So that's kind of the post-rape care situation. Then we have also now really great programs that are addressing prevention of gender-based violence, which I think is something that we weren't sure we could ever take on. There's an IMAGE program in South Africa, which added HIV and gender-based violence training to microfinance programs for women. And it showed that information in conjunction with economic empowerment can have a real impact in the reduction of GBV. And other programs looking to change social norms, like Stepping Stones, also in Southern Africa, and then Raising Voices in Uganda. And of course, I think, as many people may know, the Secretary General and the UNITE campaign for women is really promoting programs like Ring the Bell, which was a program in India that was really intended to help mobilize communities. So I just want to make it clear that even though this is a very difficult issue, and it's a very difficult issue around the world, including still in the United States, it is one where we do have ways of really dealing with it, and we hope to bring those to scale.
Are there clear linkages between gender-based violence and HIV?
There are, and in fact, we're hoping that this is one of those debates that now the research and evidence base is so strong that we can maybe worry a little bit less about that and start thinking about what we can really do about the epidemic. There have been a number of studies that have been completed that really look at this. And we also know that often gender-based violence and rape really stems from gender inequality and very low status of women. And of course, we know that has a very profound impact on HIV rates. But there are major studies. There was a meta-analysis, over 250 studies in over 90 countries across sub-Saharan Africa, North America, Asia, and the Caribbean. And they showed approximately twofold increase of sexually transmitted infections or HIV. And then there have recently been a cohort study in South Africa that has demonstrated this as well. And I think the other thing that's important about some of the data that's starting to emerge is that we're also beginning to better document the magnitude of the problem and its long-term effects. I think people don't realize how incredibly prevalent and damaging gender-based violence is. So, for example, PEPFAR is now a partner with a very innovative partnership called Together for Girls, which brings together the UN agencies, the US government, as well as the private sector, really focused on gender-based violence in girls. And they recently completed a household survey in Swaziland that was really the first survey looking at this amongst girls. And they've just finished one in Tanzania. And what they found was that in Swaziland, one in three girls, their first sexual experience was forced. And it also went on to look at long-term consequences. These girls are more likely to contract HIV, other sexually transmitted infection. They're very prone to depression. They tend to kind of over, because of low self-esteem issues most likely, then become to kind of everything kind of continues to fall apart. For example, they have much lower rates of school attendance and performance and things like that. So this is not just an emotional reaction to a human rights crisis, which, of course, we all have and we should have, but it also is something where the evidence base is growing and very much more scientific approaches are being employed.
What can we do to better link all types of U.S. health programs under the Global Health Initiative so that they can have more of an impact on gender-based violence?
Well, I think, as you know, the Global Health Initiative is really a critical strategy moving forward to really bring together all the health programs to better serve women and girls who are a central part of that. And PEPFAR is the largest element of the Global Health Initiative. The first principle of the Global Health Initiative is to focus on women, girls, and gender equality. So there are a number of things that are being put forward across all of U.S. government health assistance programs that will help this. So, for example, we need to ensure that there's equitable access to essential services at facility and community. We want to increase meaningful participation of women and girls in planning and designing and implementation and monitoring of programs. Gender-based violence has now taken a very central role across the U.S. government programs. And we also want to look at empowering adolescents and pre-adolescent girls, fostering and strengthening social networks, educational opportunities, economic assets. These are the things that, as a girl grows up, she becomes increasingly isolated from her community. There's very interesting research that shows that in many countries, when they reach adolescence, boys continue to expand their social networks and girls disproportionately shrink, which increases their vulnerability. I do want to say there's a whole list of things that the Global Health Initiative is doing, and those are readily available. But I want to highlight that we cannot change social norms related to gender-based violence and gender inequality without really working with men and boys. And of course, even though we talk a lot about girls and women, men and boys are very central, and we have a number of interventions and activities across our programs that really help support their engagement and over time change attitudes.
You have a very long and interesting career, first as a nurse midwife and practitioner, and more recently to help direct U.S. policy. What do you think the most important steps are for improving maternal health, and why has it been so hard to achieve this goal?
It's a great question, and I must admit, sometimes I feel very lucky to have had the career that I've had, where I've actually been able to engage in service delivery, look at pregnancy, family planning, HIV in women, and then programmatically, how can we make these programs stronger? I think particularly related to maternal health, reducing maternal mortality has been challenging because while there are some risk factors, overall, it's often very difficult to know when a mother will run into trouble. So to address their needs in many cases, you really have to have the ability to do a cesarean section. So there are kind of two elements to the question. One about barriers of care. It starts with low status of women, not dissimilar to what we were talking about relative to HIV and gender-based violence, whether women are really valued in pregnancy and people will spend money on getting them care and getting them to the hospital or if there is a facility. So that's one issue. And then the other issue really relates to broader health systems issues. How far is the nearest facility? Is transportation available? Sometimes more than one referral is needed. So she might deliver at home, but then end up at a dispensary or a primary health care facility and then actually need to go another step to a hospital. And the amount of time that takes is very damaging. And then there's the overall human resource crisis around health services in Africa, particularly, which is quite challenging. But I do want to say, even though that's quite negative, we're making really significant progress. Maternal mortality is dropping. There are innovative technologies to prevent postpartum hemorrhage, which was a key cause of maternal mortality, as well as now really creative approaches, like setting up homes at maternity hospitals so that women can actually stay in a town where they have the ability to deal with obstetrical emergencies before she delivers. So these are some of the things we're looking at. And I would have to say it's one of the greatest opportunities of the Global Health Initiative. Using integrated approaches will enable us to really bring all of these pieces together because, you know, for a long time we've been doing public health, but we've never really talked that much about the empowerment of women or the status of women and what role that plays in our inability to make long-term changes. And I think under the Global Health Initiative, between being able to deal with some of these root causes, as well as looking at specific interventions and then adding to it the health systems lens, really does provide us with a comprehensive approach that we need moving forward.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And for all of those listening who would like to read more about gender-based violence, please visit www.smartglobalhealth.org and our November's Healthy Dialogue blog concentrated solely on gender-based violence. Thank you very much.
Thank you.